Good morning. We give a warm welcome to all those who are joining us for worship this Sunday morning. Our service is led by our minister, the Reverend Claire Davison, and we wish Claire a very happy birthday today. A reminder that our Lent appeal in aid of Wheatfields Hospice and the Leeds North and West Food Bank is now open, and cheques should be sent to Mrs. Susan Bollen. The elders will meet on Wednesday, the 17th of February at 10 a.m. Our worship next Sunday will be led by our minister.
Today is Valentine's Day, as I'm sure we all remember, and this year it coincides with Racial Justice Sunday. The United Reformed Church's Global and Intercultural Ministries team have produced resources which we will draw on at various points of the service, which consider the theme, What Kind of Love? So we begin with words from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So we sing that wonderful hymn asking God to fill us with his own love. Love divine, all loves excelling. As we turn to prayer, we begin with a prayer from the Racial Justice Sunday Resources by Richard Betcher, a prayer for ourselves as we begin worship. Lord, turn me inside out so people can see the you in me with the same shape heart, the same colour of blood, and one word in our flesh that makes us like you, revealing the image of God in our coats of many colours. Lord, I love from the inside what I see on the outside. So may we love what we see and be loved for who we are. Brothers and sisters, united from inside out to turn the world upside down. So Lord God, as we think about the themes of love and racial justice today, we pray we would be open to the still small voice of your Spirit prompting our thoughts, bringing our lives to be more fully reflecting your glory, for we pray in the name of Jesus, who showed us how to pray in the words of the Our Father. Please join with me as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Our first reading is Psalm 50, verses 1 to 6. This psalm is attributed to Asaph, who wrote a number of the psalms and was one of King David's chief musicians. This psalm begins with the majesty of God, yet the context is one of judgment on the people. God says he will accept honest thanksgiving offerings, but judges those who are dishonest and testify against each other. It is read to us by Ewan Cameron.
God, the Lord God, has spoken and summoned the world from the rising to the setting sun. God shines out from Zion, perfect in beauty. Our God is coming and will not keep silence. Consuming fire runs before him and wreathes him closely round. He summons heaven and high and earth to the judgment of his people. Gather to me my loyal servants, all who by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. The heaven proclaims his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Our second reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9, is given for the week before the start of Lent and is that majestic story of the Transfiguration. It comes in Mark's Gospel a little after Peter has declared Jesus as the Messiah, and Jesus begins speaking about his death and resurrection. It's a passage of hope to lead us into Lent. It is read to us by Elsa Jarvis.
Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus, and his clothes became shining white, whiter than anyone in the world could wash them. Then the three disciples saw Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "Teacher, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He and the others were so frightened that he did not know what to say. Then a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my own dear son. Listen to him." They took a quick look round, but did not see anyone else. Only Jesus was with them. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from death."
We began the service with a verse from that wonderful passage from 1 Corinthians on love. I wonder what you think of that passage. Often we focus on how we respond to others, especially our family and neighbours, our church too. But what does it mean when we face the wider world and all that is going on? Some questions are posed by the URC Global and Intercultural Ministries team, who produced the Racial Justice Sunday resources to get us thinking. What kind of love does God call us to embody and demonstrate? What kind of love does the church embody, preach, and enact? What kind of love enables injustice to continue and even flourish? What kind of love will or can engender change? What kind of love do oppressed and marginalised communities strive for? When we think about those words of Paul in Corinthians, we hear that love is the overriding quality desired of us. Whatever we do, if it is not done in love, is as if we've done nothing at all. That love, in our limited English word, isn't a like word or an attraction word, but a word which embodies the nature of God. God's love is unconditional on our behaviour or on anything else about us. We are loved by God whoever we are, whatever we look like, and whatever we feel inside. It reminds me of the Peanuts cartoon from the 1960s, which I caught up with in the 80s, being a baby in the 60s. You may remember the Love Is theme. Within the cartoons themselves, we see a number of characters who display unrequited love. It isn't openly returned or understood, even though a response is deeply desired. In a sense, the cartoon's love is like the love of God, in that it's a love despite the loved one's flaws, and in that so often we don't respond to the love of God. Yet God's love has gone one stage further, in self-sacrifice on the cross, to redeem and transform all that is broken. Which brings us to the main readings we had for today from the lectionary. The verses following on in Psalm 50 give us another sense of God, that of justice, mentioned in verse 6 of the reading. Within that love, and even though that love is unconditional in our response, we are required to be honest and open, to act justly. Towards the end of the psalm, it speaks of injustice in those who slander each other and make false accusations. Does that ring any bells of injustice in our own world? It is the rich and well-positioned in life who seem to get away with what they like, using their money and influence to dodge justice, whereas it is those who are already in poverty and struggling in life who suffer injustice, even in our UK justice system. This imbalance is only too clear when we consider the pandemic. Those who are in lower paid jobs are the ones who have lost jobs or have had to continue working and have been most vulnerable to the virus. There is also evidence that they too are the ones who are missing out on the vaccine, not to mention poorer countries. As we think of Racial Justice Sunday, it's not hard to see how white supremacy has the upper hand. While some may not like the term, if we consider our own lives in humility of spirit before God, we are so blessed with all we have and may not have experienced anything else or have been able to put our feet in the shoes of others. For myself, at sixth form college, I was surprised by a friend saying I was upper middle class, just because of the area I lived in. My parents' roots weren't as such. Even though my dad had won a scholarship to the main public school in Brighton, his family couldn't afford the uniform, so he couldn't take it up. But my parents had been successful in business, my mum having been brought up in a newsagent business, and they were able to afford to build a house in an area solely of professionals. And I know they were ostracised at first in that area. Yet we were still very privileged. Even now I reflect that I can go to the supermarket and buy whatever I like. So many can't and don't even have enough to eat. Where is the love? Where is the justice? Even in our own lives and way of living. Yet God is a God of transformation and a God who calls us to see things differently, to see what is happening around us, to see what God can see. In that story of the Transfiguration, one that I find inspirational to my faith in how it is spoken of elsewhere by the Apostle Peter, the disciples saw Jesus differently. No longer was he just a rabbi who could heal the sick, cast out demons, walk on water, calm the storm, to name but a few. His clothes shone as dazzling white. Something else was happening here that spoke of more of Jesus' divinity than any other experience they had had of him. In the Racial Justice Sunday opening reflections from Reverend Zadie Orr, a minister in the Sheffield group, she talks about the mountaintop experience and the experience of going back down into the valley. The mountaintop was a place the disciples wanted to stay. In that image of building the shelters for Jesus, Moses and Elijah, she says, like Peter, most of us would like to stay on the mountaintop, in that wondrous space, far from the trials of reality. But we know that there is work to be done in the valley, where we truly encounter life in all its complexity. The light of transfiguration, Zadie reminds us, is shining where there is racial injustice. It is the light of hope, the source of our vision, as we journey down to where Jesus calls us, knowing that he is with us in all things. Zadie goes on to remind us that the light of Christ is not for keeping to ourselves. These are gifts to be shared, gifts which can illumine the issues which divide our communities, our nations, and our world today. Gifts which can help bring transformation right here in the valley where we live and love and seek God's will. So what of that love? Have our hearts missed a beat as we've been listening or reading today? What is our response to injustice in our world today, especially of racial injustice this day? Does Christ's transfiguration transform our lives, or the realisation of the deep love of God which extends to all? Have our own attitudes, shifted a little. Perhaps some of us can do a little more than just be friendly in our own neighbourhoods. Perhaps we can do a little to work for racial justice in our world, to bring the light of Christ, the hope of transformation, to those who suffer injustice. Perhaps we can stop saying, "We can do this," and start asking how, in Christ, we can serve you. Amen. Our next hymn is a new one, written by URC Minister Reverend Dr. John Campbell, former Principal of Northern College, Manchester, currently Minister of High Cross URC in Tottenham. It's a hymn about injustice and God-given hope. And it's to a familiar tune. It's called "Moses in Egypt, For You Faced Injustice."
Thank you.
prayers for today are responsive ones from the URC worship resource, written by Jan Berry and led for us by Alec and Margaret Brownjohn.
When we hear the voices of self-doubt telling us we are worthless, that we are weak and can do nothing, and change is beyond our grasp.
God, who has made us in your image, give us the power of your Spirit to learn and grow,
and to work with you towards a new creation.
When the vulnerable are exploited and the trust of the innocent betrayed, when the strong seem invincible and the weak have nowhere to turn,
God, who sides with the poor, give us the power of your Spirit to resist evil
and to work with you towards a new creation.
In a world crying out for peace, where conflicts seem hardened into steel, where war and poverty uproot families and homes, and those seeking refuge are treated as criminals.
God, who has made the world to be one, give us the power of your Spirit to struggle for justice
and to work with you towards a new creation.
In a church that is afraid of difference and sets up barriers against the outside, where people are fearful of change, clinging to outworn ways,
God, who calls us to be your people, give us the power of your Spirit to witness for you
and to work with you towards a new creation.
In Christ's name.
Amen.
Our final hymn is a prayer for justice in our world today. For the healing of the nations, Lord, we pray with one accord. May God's grace and love fill the earth and also our hearts. May justice flow like a roaring, mighty river. May peace descend like a dove upon quiet waters. And may we be mindful always that in God's kingdom all are loved to overflowing.
Amen.